Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, and let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness for thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God is good, and all the time. You know, I like that verse. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. You know, God, speaking through Isaiah, tells the Israelites, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Salvation put God in a position where the all-knowing God had no other options. I didn't say that clearly. God is omniscient, which means what? He's all-knowing. An all-knowing God was brought to the place where he had no other options. That's how far salvation of sinners took God. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done? My brothers and sisters in the building, online, I welcome you. Any man or woman who's lost, before that person is destroyed, that person will confess that God was good, including Satan. But our expectation is to be on the other side of that drama. Are you with me? Yes. Safe with the Lord God behind the walls of that city, which shall sit on a prepared spot on the earth while the fires rage around. People don't like preachers to talk about hell. Tell me how to be rich. Tell me how to get a husband. Tell me how to get a promotion. All these things are fine. But the most popular verse in the Bible says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, now you tell me the words, should not perish. There is a perishing. That's why there'll be a new heaven and a new world. Why? Because the old heaven and the old world will perish along with those who have resisted the appeal of the words of life. Please make up your mind to stand with Christ when he comes. As Ellen White tells us, we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. How are you? Nice to see you. God bless those of you coming in. And may the Lord hasten the steps of those who are still on their way and bring them safely. Satan loves to take life. God loves to preserve it. Can you say amen for God? Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly in the eyes of God. But what were the first words I said? In the eyes of God. But remember, the Bible said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. In the eyes of man, a millionaire has an abundant life. Not in the eyes of God. An abundant life is one that has no end. You may sleep. Are you following me? You may sleep, but the Lord will wake you up to extend that life forever. An abundant life is a life that has Jesus, because the entire universe belongs to Jesus. You talk about abundance, get Christ. What did Christ say? The earth, come on, is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. What did God say? Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, the silver and the gold is mine. You want an abundant life? Get the source of abundance, and that is Jesus Christ. Our subject for this evening, who is that God? What did I say? Who is that God? And we need this evening's message, which will prepare us for some subjects I will provide or present in the coming week and weeks. So we need to understand clearly, who is that God? Who said what was said in Daniel? Who said what was said in Revelation? Who said what was said in Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Nehemiah? Who said that? Whose power was behind those words? So we understand. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you for life. Thank you for sanity. Thank you for vision. Thank you for physical mobility. Thank you for roofs over our head, transportation, groceries in our larders, lights that come on and off with a flick of a switch. We thank you for sanitation. We thank you for the authorities that keep things running. We thank you for paved roads. We thank you, dear God, for keeping your eye and your hand over this nation and other nations. Where we've sinned against you, dear God, and we've been ungracious, ungrateful, forgive us, dear God. Extend your patience a little longer with us. I put myself before you, Father, and I ask you, dear God, you know I am made of dirt. How can dirt declare divine truth? Speak through me, that the glory may come to you. I am the earthen vessel. You speak through me. Fill me to overflowing with the humility of Jesus Christ. Father, if anyone listening to me has COVID-19, heal that person, dear God, because you enjoy being merciful. Bless those in the building, those online. Father, a special blessing on anyone who is not a Seventh-day Adventist who is listening, wherever that person is, bless that person. And Father, I also ask you to exercise and exert your power on someone who has been resisting the conviction of the Spirit. The person's heart is surrounded by Jericho walls of stubbornness. Break down those walls. Let the truth enter to provide conviction. Bless the little children who are watching, boys and girls, wherever they are. Bless them, Father. You love children. Jesus was a child. Now put your words in my mouth and your spirit in my heart. I pray from my heart, dear God, in Jesus' name. Let God's people say with me, amen and amen. Let's go to Daniel. Let's place our title in its proper setting. Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3, we'll read 13, 14, and 15. Nebuchadnezzar has been informed by some Chaldeans that there are three young men who have refused to bow to his image that he made. And the expression, he hath made, occurs more than 10 times in Daniel 3. They would not bow to this man-made image. Verse 13 of Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Finish that verse. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God? That's our subject for tonight. Let's try to determine who was the God that Nebuchadnezzar was asking about, and also Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5. Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord, therefore I will not let Israel go. Let's determine and find out biblically who this God was. Our subject, who is that God? Now, let's go to Luke 22. We read verse 31 of Luke 22. We'll also go to Matthew momentarily. Matthew 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. What does the Bible say? And the Lord said what? Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may do what? Sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, do what? Strengthen thy bread. Look at 31 again. And the Lord said what? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Okay, let's just drop it right there. Let's go to Matthew now, chapter 23. We read verse 36 of Matthew. Matthew 23, verse 36. Do you have that? Some very sad words from Jesus Christ. Read with me, what does that say? 37, what does that say? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that what? Killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Stop. Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. As his heart breaks as he looks over his city. His closest, one of his closest disciples, the favored three, Peter, James, and John, he says to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have thee, that he may sift thee. Christ didn't say no to Satan. Christ told Peter, I've prayed for you. Listen to me carefully. God does not deliver us from all satanic attacks. Sometimes he strengthens us to go through it. And the reason is always spiritual growth and the development of spiritual muscles. I like going to the gym, but you don't lift, you don't grow muscles by curling a pillow. Are you following me? Are you with me? Don't curl a pillow. You go to the gym, you pick up some weight. That brings perspiration. The muscle responds. It adapts by growing. We call it hypertrophy. And so when the devil said to Jesus, I'd like to try him, Jesus said, fine, but Peter, I'm praying for you. The knowledge that God is praying for you should sustain you more and mean more to you than the fact that the devil is trying to try you. Because anytime Jesus prays, the Father will answer. Can you say amen? And so, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Simon, Simon, his beloved city, his beloved disciple. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, we read from verse 38. Our subject, who is that God? Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha did what? Receive him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet, and what? Heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore, that she what? Help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, read it with me now, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about what? Many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Jesus addresses that lady whom he loved. You see, Christ's favorite family were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That was his favorite family. I use the word favorite deliberately. Who were God's favorite people on earth back in the Old Testament? The Israelites. The Bible tells us that over and over. Now therefore, if thou wilt obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. But God made a way for other people to be part of that. Because God's heart is to save everyone. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were closer to Christ than any other family. In Desire of Ages, page 524, paragraph 1, the writer writes these words. The Savior blessed all who sought his help. He loves all the human family. But to some, he's bound by peculiarly tender associations. His heart was knit by a strong bond of affection to the family at Bethany. And for them, his most wondrous work was wrought. He reserved his most powerful miracle for the family closest to him. Does he love the whole world? Yes. Are some closer to him than others? Yes. How close are you? You know the choice is yours. The choice is yours. There's room at the cross for how many people? Everybody. The choice is yours. And where is the cross? Not on Calvary's Hill, in the heart of Jesus. Mary, Martha, Martha, Simon, Simon, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Who wrote the book of Acts? The blessed Luke. What was his profession? Medical doctor, yes. What was Paul's profession? Tent maker. Well, he was also a highly educated man, but he had this, we call it side something, side job, side whatever. He made tents. All right. Acts chapter 9, we'll read from verse 1. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, I ask you in the name of Jesus, remind me without failure, I am here for your glory. Enable me to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, what? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What did Saul say? And he said, who art thou, Lord? What's our subject? Who is that God? Saul said, who became Paul, who art thou, Lord? Read the answer. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Who said, Saul, Saul? Who said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem? Who said, Martha, Martha? Come on, talk to me. Who said, Simon, Simon? All right. All through the book of John, who says, verily, verily? Jesus. Are you following me? Let's leave the New Testament aside for a while. Let's focus now on the Old. Let us go to Genesis chapter 22. God has commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. I almost said kill, but it sounds so horrendous. To sacrifice Isaac. God has a right to take life. And he has a right to choose his instrument. You miss that. People say, well, God is so bloody. He killed so many people in the Old Testament. The Israelites were merely a sword in the hand of God. Are you with me? God told the Israelites in Jeremiah chapter 23 or 27, I will use Nebuchadnezzar to destroy you if you do not submit to Nebuchadnezzar. God uses nations as swords to carry out his will. Genesis 22, God tells Abraham, sacrifice Isaac. Abraham gets up immediately. First thing in the morning. I'm quite sure he didn't tell Sarah. And he takes off on this journey to obey God. Obedience sometimes is tough. Can you say amen? Let me say it again. Obeying God sometimes is tough. But never look at what God has asked you to do. Look at who asked you to do it. When you realize it's God, you do it even if it means giving up of life. Let's read verse 10 of Genesis 22. What does that verse say? And Abraham did what? Stretched forth his hand and took the knife to what? Slay his son. Read 11 for me now. And the angel of the Lord did what? And said what? Abraham, Abraham, stop. Stop. How did Jesus call in the New Testament? How did he call Peter? Simon, Simon. How did he call Martha? How did he call Saul? How did he call, which one did I, Jerusalem? Jerusalem. Does that sound similar to Abraham, Abraham? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. What's our subject? Who is that God? Thank you. Who is that God? 1 Samuel 3, in that chapter, God calls Samuel. He calls him once. Samuel runs to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you, go lie down again. God calls the second time. He runs again to Eli. Eli said, I never called you, go lie down again. God calls the third time. He runs to Eli. Eli said, look, he realized God was calling him. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now in verse 10. Are you there? First Samuel 3 verse 10. Read with me. And the Lord came and how? As at other times. Keep this in mind, because this is the fourth time he's calling. How does he call? As at other times. Finish the verse. Samuel, Samuel, which means when he called the first time, what did he say? Samuel, Samuel, even though it is not written in the verse. Are you reasoning with me? He called as at other times. Now, who was it calling Samuel, Samuel, Samuel? Jesus. Now, he didn't have that name then. It was the same one who said, Simon, Simon, Martha, Martha, Saul, Saul, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Abraham, Abraham. Now, it is Samuel, Samuel. And when Saul said, who are you? What did the person say? I am Jesus. I'm the one who calls the name twice. I'm the one who wrote the commandments twice. I'm the one who gave a vision to Pharaoh twice with the same message. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Moses sees a burning bush. And he's curious like we are. And he's about to come close to the burning bush because the bush was not consumed. Let's read verse 4 of Exodus 3. Are you there? Do you have it now, Exodus 3, verse 4? Read with me. What does that say? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to what? The Lord called him out of the midst of the bush and said what? Moses, Moses. That's fine. Thank you for your eagerness. Moses, Moses. Now let's put the list together. Let's start from Genesis. Abraham, Abraham. Moses, Moses. Samuel, Samuel. Simon, Simon. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Martha, Martha. Saul, Saul. Verily, verily. When Saul said, who are you calling me twice? What did the person say? I'm Jesus. What am I trying to tell you? Who was it that appeared to Moses in the burning bush and sent him to Pharaoh? Jesus. Who appeared to Abraham and told him, sacrifice your son? Jesus. You're hearing the word Jesus, is it registering? That man who walked in human flesh, who spent 9 months in the womb of a woman, who was circumcised at 8 days of age, that was the one who said, Moses, Moses. The mighty God. The everlasting Father, meaning the Father of eternity. Because there are two fathers, this one. It was Jesus. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. What's our subject? Who is that God? And who is that God? Jesus. I love Jesus. I wish I could have been with the disciples to see him. Well, not necessarily one of them, just somewhere in the crowd like Zacchaeus up a tree. Just see him. How do you see Jesus raise someone from the dead and then not believe? But they are no different from the way we are. Jesus said, if they don't believe the prophets, neither will they believe if someone rose from the dead. Luke 16, the last verse of that chapter. We are in 1 Corinthians 10. Let us read from verse 1. I hope someone has prayed for me and said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Please, please do that. Let's read. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Let's pause on that. Let me digress, hopefully meaningfully. God abhors ignorance. Listen to John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee. God loves his people to know. Without knowledge, there's no salvation. We have to act on it. We are born again by the word. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So Paul said, moreover, I would not that ye be ignorant, brethren, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, And they'd all drink the same spiritual drink. Read verse 4 for me now. For they drank, come on, of that spiritual rock that followed them. Come on, I can't hear you. And that rock, come on, was Christ. Who was with the Israelites in the wilderness? Christ. Now, he wasn't visible, but he represented himself by the cloud by night, by day, the pillar of fire by night, the manna 6 days a week, the water from the rock. He was the one guiding. That rock was Christ. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Who is that God? Christ, the same one in verse 4. He wasn't pleased. And they were what? Overthrown in the wilderness. How many of the adults who left Egypt entered Canaan? Two. Name them. Joshua and Caleb. What happened to all the rest? By whose will? God. Give me his name. Jesus. Let's go to verse 6. Now these sayings were our what? Now the Greek word there is tupos, which means type. And as Adventist people of prophecy, we understand type and antitype. These things were our examples, our types, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Who is they? The Israelites way back. God tells Saul to tell us, Paul to tell us, don't do what the Israelites did. Verse 7. Read with me. What does that say? Neither what? Be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Notice the verse says, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. When did that happen? Go to Exodus chapter 32. Let's read verse 5 and verse 6. Our subject, who is that God? We discovered he's the God who followed the Israelites. That rock was Christ. It was God, the Son, the one who died on the cross, was the one leading the Israelites across the desert. Exodus 32, 5 and 6. Do you have that? Read verse 5. What does that say? And when Aaron saw it, he did what? He built an altar before it. Now we're about to worship an image, you see. That's what altars are for. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is what? A feast to the Lord. Let me digress again. Dedicating something to God doesn't make it right. I didn't say that correctly. You've heard of gospel rap? You've heard that? You heard of gospel rock? Putting gospel in front of it doesn't mean God accepts it. You might as well come up with gospel fornication. Would God accept that? They dedicated the day to God. God didn't accept. He wanted to kill all of them. Let me say it again. The fact that something is done in a church does not mean it is acceptable to God. Unless it is done according to, thus saith the Lord. And thus saith the Lord said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. That's commandment 2. Commandment 1 said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They broke both and offered it to God. How do you offer disobedience to God? Can you think of a greater insult to God? Aaron, the high priest, made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. You know, there's certain things you shouldn't eat, but you bow your head, Father, bless my food now, and it's full of pork chops, and you know you shouldn't eat it. How is God to bless that? Are you with me? Be very careful what we offer to God as we worship. Let's read verse 6. Keep reading. What does that say? And they arose up early in the morning and did what? Offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people did what? And rose up to play. Did we not read that in 1 Corinthians 10? Let's go back to verse 7 now. It said, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. That's what Paul is talking about. Idol worship. And we read in verse 6, these things were our example to the intent we should not do. And Paul gives us some examples of the things we shouldn't do. The Israelites did a lot of nonsense. But Paul doesn't have time to give us all. He gives us some. Let's go to verse 8. Another thing not to do. Read that verse. Neither let us do what? Commit fornication, as some of them committed, and were what? And fell in one day, 23,000. Now, what's our subject? You read verse 9. Neither let us... Come on. Wait a minute. About whom is Paul speaking? About whom? When? In the wilderness. Where's that in the Bible? Old on you. Come on. Old on you. Old! When were they in the wilderness? Why are you hesitating? When were the Israelites in the wilderness? In the Old Testament. Now listen to verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of what? Serpents. So when they tempted God and they questioned Moses and rebelled against God in the wilderness, against whom were they rebelling? What does the Bible say? Christ. The word tempt means to try to get on somebody's nerves. God has nerves, I imagine. Can we get on them? Christ. It was Christ was that rock. It was Christ they tempted when they worshiped that calf. When they got involved with the Moabitess women, they went to worship, to observe their worship style and came back with the women. They did not go to participate. Let me digress again. They went to watch. By the way, well, no, I shouldn't tell you now. I want to take your mind off. Let's go to 1 Peter. We read from verse 10 to 11. 1 Peter. Oh, chapter 1, sorry. Chapter 1. Let's read 9 to 11. 9 to 11. Subject, who is that God, is 736. No, 742. Oh, 742. I'm looking at the second hand. 1 Peter 1, reading from verse 9. Father in heaven, as I continue, please God, let the Spirit speak clearly to me. Grant me the humility to listen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, come on, finish the verse, which will come on to you. About whom is Paul speaking? Who are these prophets? The Old Testament. Name a few. Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, yes. The Bible says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. They were trying to understand the very things they were writing. Oh, we should copy the example. They inquired, they searched, they studied, because they knew one day God would come and literally walk on this earth, and they longed to be alive when that happened. Now, if you have my version, read verse 11. Searching what? At what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Who is them? The prophets. What Spirit led them? The Spirit of Christ. When Isaiah wrote, he was directed by Christ. What testament is that? The Old. Go to Hebrews 11. What's our subject? Who is that God? Hebrews 11. We'll read 24 to 26. Do you have that? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer what? Affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the what? For a season, esteeming, verse 26, the what? Reproach of Christ. greater riches than the treasures in Eden, in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, esteeming the reproach of Christ. In other words, he preferred to suffer for Christ than to enjoy the luxuries of the palace. The reproach of Christ. What testament is that? The Old. Now you answer me. Who is the God of the Old Testament? Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Malachi. We have no question about the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the God from Genesis to Malachi. He was the one who said, let there be light. He's the one who said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. Who sent manna from heaven? Can he provide for you? Who drowned the Egyptian army in the waters of the Red Sea? Christ. Can he take care of your enemies? Yes. Who brought water out of a rock? Jesus. Can he provide for you and cool your soul? Yes. Who destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night? Jesus sent the destroying angel. Who sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians for the sake of the Israelites? Jesus. Let me say again, he wasn't called by that name. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He got that name in his humanity, but it's the same person. The pre-incarnate Christ, that fancy expression means before he took on flesh. The incarnation is taking on flesh, coming in human condition. Pre-incarnate before becoming human. Simple. The pre-incarnate Christ is the God of the Old Testament. Who is that God? Jesus Christ. Genesis to Malachi to Revelation. Go with me to John 8. It's 7:47. I think I still am able to release you by 8. If things get tight, 8:05. Don't pray for them not to get tight. John 8, we'll read from verse 56. You have that? Not yet. I recommended John very highly. I repeat that recommendation now. You will not regret it. John 8, 56, Jesus speaking. What does he say? Your father Abraham, come on, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He rejoiced. Read verse 57. What does the Jew say? Then what? Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Abraham died almost 2,000 years before the time of Christ. The Jews correctly said, at a human level, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? It's impossible. They did not acknowledge the pre-existence of Christ. You read verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, come on, before Abraham, I am. Before Abraham was born, I existed. Go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. God, Christ, has sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh. Moses, in his human weakness, asks a very reasonable question. Exodus 3, we read verse 13 and 14, possibly 15. Are you there? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, what? I am, come on. God said what? I am the man. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Abraham, what? Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Keep reading. Have sent me unto you. This is for how long? And this is my unto I am. That's my name for how long? Forever. Now Jesus says to the Pharisees, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. They understood what he was saying. That's why in the very next verse, they try to kill him. That God, give me his name, Jesus. Go to Isaiah 9, let's read verse 6 as we close this message. My friends online, I hope you're still with us wherever you are on this round earth. And may the Lord bless you with revelation and understanding. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Read nice and loud and clear, which you do not do. But do it this time. Are you there? You're not there yet. All right, I'll wait. I'll wait. We have a few seconds to spare. I'll wait. Are we there? The people online can't wait, so we have to move on. Are we there now? Isaiah 9, 8. What does that verse say? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be what? Upon his shoulder. Now, carefully, and his name shall be called? Wonderful, come on. Counselor, come on. Mighty God, come on. The Everlasting Father, come on. The Prince of Peace, wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. As I said, the Father of eternity. The Father of everlastingness. The Prince of Peace. Who is that? Who is the Mighty God? Jesus. Who is the God of the Exodus? Jesus. Who created? Jesus. Now, I've often said he is an agent of the Father. I must say that. But the individual who walked the Israelites to the desert? Jesus. Who was in the burning bush? Why is that? Because the moment Adam sinned, the Father ceased to have any more direct interaction with man. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator, a mediator stands between two, so that the two don't talk directly to each other, they talk through the mediator. Now that is not to throw a shadow on God's love for us. That's the only way it could have worked. And so when Adam sinned, the whole world was placed right in the hands of Jesus. When he comes the second time, redeems us, then he hands it back to the Father. Are you with me? With us in it, say amen. It was weak. With us in it. A little better, but not quite what I wanted. That's fine. Jesus. When you sleep tonight, let your last words be to Jesus. Or in his name, I should say. Father, watch over me tonight in the name of Jesus. Remove Jesus. Everyone drops dead. Remove Jesus. Plants can't grow. Remove Jesus. The universe collapses. In him, we live and move and have our being. People, animals, trees, nothing can exist without Christ. And so tonight, I offer to you Jesus. Someone spoke to me today. I'm about to be evicted. Genesis 2, verse 7, verse 8. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The first person to provide housing on earth was Jesus. Did you say amen? I didn't hear it, but I'll take your word by faith. So I'm trying to get this person to trust God and make sure all is right between that person and God. The only thing that causes problems between us and God is sin. Someone said to me once, 2 days ago, I got a text. Pray for us. My husband has been looking for a job for 6 years. I just lost mine. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That was work. God invented work. First person to work. By the way, first person to rest. He can provide a job. Make sure things are right spiritually. Christ didn't die because people are unemployed. He died because of sin. That's why he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, come on, the King and his righteousness. And there's no sin in righteousness. And all these things shall be added. Added. We stress the wrong things. God gives us a sequence of events. Seek me first. And there is no exception to that principle. Seek me first. In marriage, in education, in everything. Seek the God of the Exodus. Seek the God of creation. Seek the God of the Old Testament, who is the God of the New. Seek Christ and His glory and His righteousness, and the God of the universe will take care of you. How many will say with me, Father, I recommit my life to my Savior tonight. Can I see your hand? Do you really mean that? Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 5:23, that all men can honor the Son even as they honor the Father. By lifting up Jesus, dear God, we've lifted you. Forgive us, Father, for our weak faith in our Savior. Forgive us for not understanding and recognizing that the one on that cross was the mighty God of Isaiah 9:6, the everlasting Father of Isaiah 9:6, the Redeemer of the Exodus. That's who died on that cross and rose. We thank you for sending someone equal with yourself, dear God. Now, Father, we pray as the disciples pray, Lord, increase our faith in Christ through the Word. As we leave, let us leave with the iron assurance that the God of heaven and earth is at our side. Yea, through His Spirit is within us. Let us think of the words of Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Take us safely, Father. Deepen our love for Jesus. Let nothing come between us and Him, nothing and no one. Let us sleep with our arms on His bosom tonight. Bring us back tomorrow, Father, I pray from my heart. And in the name of Jesus, let all God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.